Anyone take a guess? Turn to Romans 8. When I read that, I think that's my favorite. Then when I read in Revelation, I think that's my favorite. Then I read somewhere else, I think that's my favorite. This is an outstanding chapter, and there are many wonderful truths that are outlined. And beginning with the 14th verse of the 8th chapter, Paul is mentioning the results of hearing and accepting the gospel message and being saved. Let me read from the 14th verse. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and the children then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I want you to think about it tonight. According to God's word, we were all servants to sin. We were in bondage to Satan. We were bound by sin. We were lost without any hope. We were in the pit of horrible pit of sin. And the Bible says, with all of that, we were there for eternity, separated from God, with no hope of redemption. And yet the Bible lets me to know that that's not the end of it. Now we have accepted Christ, and He's our Lord, He's our Savior, and we are His children. Look where we've come from. Like Joy said, remember. Remember where you were when you were in sin, and tonight, look where you are. Children of God. Man, that ought to be enough to cause you to shout. To rejoice and to be happy. I don't mean get on your feet and shout, but I mean just rejoice in your heart. You are a child of God if you're saved. By the blood of the Lamb. In the 15th verse, Paul's writing, he said, let us know that we have been adopted as one of the Lord's, which is almost more than I can fathom in my finite mind. I can't comprehend that He would adopt me into the family. Then I thought about that. He that is the Creator, He that made it all, He that the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that scooped out the oceans with His hand. And if from the stars out there from the fingertips, and when they arrive where they ought to go, they're right in place. Isn't that amazing? Millions of them. He made it all. And yet the Bible says, He adopted me. He loves me. I'm one of His children. I'm an heir of the Lord. I thought about how great God is, that we're His children, but that's not all. Because of His love and His mercy, because of His grace, because He saved us and adopted us into His family, the Bible lets me to know that not only am I adopted, I'm an heir to God. You know what that means? Everything that He has is mine. I'm an heir. But then the Bible goes on. Paul doesn't stop there. He says, not only are we heirs of God, we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. My older brother was named Ronald, and we called him Brother. And that was sort of a lot of people did that. I was getting to say in the olden days, but I'm not going back that far. A few years ago, a lot of families, the older son was called Brother, and then the rest of us were just called. But I thought to be a child of the Lord and to be adopted in this family, and then that, to know that I'm an heir of God. And then he goes on to say, and I'm a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our elder brother, and all is His. And what is His is ours. We're joint heirs with Him. Brother, that's something to rejoice about. God is good. Amen. Amen. Paul's excited, I believe, when he's writing and he's talking about the benefits of salvation as he goes through the book of Romans and comes to this 8th chapter. And in the course of the 8th chapter, he mentions 5 questions. He challenges anyone as they read his questions that he's raised to refute the truths of what he said. And I'm going to mention the 5 questions, and then I'm going to try to preach on one. In the 31st verse, he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? He's really saying that God will protect us. God will be there for us.
In the 32nd verse he says, how shall he not within him also freely give us all things? He will provide. We mentioned sometime in Bible study some years ago about the seven compound names of the Almighty God, and one of those is Jehovah Jireh. And Jehovah Jireh is mentioned in the 22nd chapter of Genesis when God provided a lamb to be the sacrifice instead of Isaac. God gave some lamb for Abraham to offer him. God provided, and listen, he's still providing tonight. I can say of a surety, and my wife is here to back up what I'm saying now, God has provided every need in our lives since we got saved. Everyone. Everyone. What a God. What a mighty God. And the third question is found in the 33rd verse. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The fourth question in the 34th verse. Who is that that condemneth? He's talking about guilt and about grace. And the fifth question is in the 35th verse. Who shall separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ? Who can break the fellowship that we have with the Almighty? Who is it out there that can come between you and I, you and the Lord, and me and the Lord? Who's out there? No one, he says, if you'll stay close to God. And this is that first question that I want to preach about tonight. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, I've mentioned in Bible study, and I'm going to say it again tonight, in the King James Version of the Bible. Now, everyone understands that the Bible was not originally written in English. It's come to us with a lot of different translations, from Latin to German to so many others. And then the New Testament was written in Greek. And then it's been translated into Hebrew, and it's been translated into various languages. And in the King James Version of the Bible, every time you see a word italicized, it means that that was not in the original Greek. Jay, in this 31st verse, where it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Notice if you will, be is italicized, and can be is italicized. Or be your second time around. That means they have been put there to help us to better understand in the English, better understand what God is saying. And so keep that in mind. It's not changing at all of the meaning of the scriptures. It's not adding to it. It's not taking away. In fact, a lot, so much of this Bible is really as it's been translated so that we can understand in our own language. But if you understand tonight, I'm going to paraphrase that last part as well. He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And so I'm going to change one word and change the meaning at all. Inasmuch as God is for us, or since God is for us, who can be against us? That doesn't change the meaning at all. Since God is for us, who can be against us? And notice, if you will, that real thought contains two parts. If we just went with the last part, who can be against us? If I ask you tonight, who can be against you? Man, you can come up with something. The devil's against you. Sometimes people will be against you. You found that to be so. He says, who can we find so much? Did you know this sickness and affliction and pain? And my wife has arthritis, and sometimes when she goes to walk because of where the arthritis is, you can tell it's pain to take a step. Did you know pain and sickness, that's against you? And the sixth chapter of Ephesians lets us to know who the enemy is. We are fighting against the principalities and the powers of the air. We're engaged in a battle against all the darkness that is out there, everything that Satan has to throw against us. But now I want you to understand there's another part of that question. If God be for us, who can be against us? And that changes everything. Whatever Satan might do or anyone else might do, I'm glad that we're serving a God that is for us and is able to do all things and do them well. In fact, I put this down, and I would like to mention this. Sometimes you might feel as if the whole world is against you. And that's, I come back to that first part, but if God be for us, and I want to preach tonight, God is for us. And as I was even typing that,
I thought sometimes I even type, when I'm typing my Sunday school notes or whatever, I just put amen in there because he said, Brother Jones, are you afraid you're going to miss that when you're preaching? No. But I just, it just did me good right then. Some people have the idea that you can't feel the anointing and the presence of God until you get to the pulpit. You can get, you can feel it when you're at the computer. Amen. God is for us. Why don't we say it together? Is that all right? Let's say it right now. God is for us. One more time. God is for us. Do you believe it? And if he's for us, who can be against us? Name someone. Name anyone. Hallelujah. Think about that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, God. He is for us accordingly. And when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we know that it's true that the Lord is on our side. We've been born again. And names have been inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God is for us. And so I have two or three thoughts tonight that I want to bring to my attention. And I want to do it this way tonight. I want to take those four words, God is for us, and I want to take them one at a time. And so with God, and then he is, and four, and third, and then us, and so, go with me to begin with. Who it is that is on our side? Who it is that provides for us? Who it is that protects us? Who it is that is there when we wake up in the morning, and when we go to bed at night? Who it is with us all day long? His name is Jesus. God is for us. God is for us. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. You may have sometimes some have been forsaken by their parents, and some have been shunned by their classmates, and some have been let down by their friends, and all seem like so many going on and on and on. But remember this tonight, when everyone else forsakes you and you feel like you're all alone, God is for us. It's God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Creator of heaven and earth. The Almighty God. I mentioned how he scooped out the waters of the ocean. But he's the God that painted the flowers. He's the Almighty, the same God who translated Enoch and took him to heaven without seeing death. Before the flood, that same God is ours tonight. Hallelujah. The same God that opened the Red Sea for the children of Israel to walk across on dry land. Some 3 million of them. That same God is ours tonight. Amen. The same God that provided for Elijah during the time of famine is our God tonight. The same God that fed the 3 million heavenless dead in the wilderness for 40 years is our God tonight. The same God that caused the sun to stand still for almost the whole day for Joshua is my God tonight. God is for us. God is for us. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. It's God. It's God. It's God. Man, I'd rather have him with me than anybody in the world. I'd rather have him than all the world. God is for us. Secondly, the emphasis on the word is, I imagine some of you remember when our former President Clinton got into trouble and he was trying to give a deposition, and he made the statement, it depends on what the word is. I'm not going to go the political route tonight, and I'm going to tell you what it is. God is. God is for you. Not that he was, not that he shall be, not that he's going to be. He is tonight, September the 2nd, 2012. He is right now for you and me. Man, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a thought. What a blessed feeling that it is to know. You don't have to wait in line. Did you ever get impatient waiting in line? Pray for joy. Tribulation work of patience. I thought about it in the military. Some of you were in the service. Went to basic training. Now, in my home, even then, there, most of the time, there was just 5 children, and by the time the 6th child came along, the 1st child was ready to get married and get out and be gone, but around our table and whatever, we did have to stand and wait sometimes, and it was only when the preacher came. I never did like that idea. And it seems like when they were finished eating,
they sat and talked. And Mama would say, when we come to the back door or wherever, just be a few more minutes. And it seemed like that was a long time. And I thought, when we get married and we have children, if the preacher comes, we're gonna feed them as best we can, but I want to feed my boys as well. And so we set up another table over here and another table over there. I never go in the military, and they wake you up before the sun comes up, and you got to get all cleaned up and shaved and ready to go to chow, and then chow hall is not even open. You got to wait a while, and then when you get there, you got to stand in line, 60 of us in this fight, and another fight over here, 60 more, and after a while they call you black number and you file in, standing in line to go eat. And some of those GIs could not eat the food that they served in the mess hall. I never found one thing wrong with it. Gained 23 pounds in 3 months. I went into service wearing 140 out of high school and came up a basic training wearing 163, and it was all muscle. Did not gain an inch. Went in with a 27-inch waist, came out with a 27-inch waist, put on 23 pounds. What do you say, preacher? When I mentioned that tonight, I thought that God is not that He was, but not what He is going to be, but God is now. He is for me now. He's the greatest friend I've ever had. We don't have to wait in line. We don't have to come back tomorrow. I never did like to go to the motor vehicle. Seems like you've got to wait in line even to get your picture made. Everything. Listen closely when the trumpet sounds, there'll be no lines. Praise God. We're going out of here. Amen. Don't have to line up at the door and say, Fred, you go first, and James, you go next, and Lisa, you go next, and someone else, when the trumpet sounds, we're gone. Hallelujah. He is. God is for us. Amen. Amen. Whatever happens in life, whatever comes our way, whatever the circumstances, whatever the sickness, whatever the affliction, whatever the pain, whatever it might be, God is for us. Hallelujah. Praying again tonight. I don't know. Sometimes I don't listen to others while they're praying. Sometimes people don't pray out loud. And that's all right, as we were praying before the service. I thought about the many of our church that need a touch in their bodies. I'm praying, God, help me and help us to get to the place where you can use us. Amen. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. God, help me to believe with that kind of faith that when we go to pray for someone and anoint them with oil, that the power of God comes on the scene and the body to heal. We've seen it happen, and God hasn't changed. God is. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Not that He's going to be, but He is tonight. I remember, and I mentioned this before sometime, I don't know how long it's been, but I remember hearing Bishop J. Ford Williams preach. It was in a Norfolk First Church. They were having some kind of a convention, and we went over to hear Bishop Williams preach. And he was preaching a sermon, and the title of the sermon was, God Is. He said, I was in Norfolk visiting. I was in the elevator. Somehow the door closed. Before everything was right, and I got my foot crushed in the elevator in Norfolk. He said, so happened that the superintendent of the conference, Brother R.C. Simon, and some others were there, and they called, had them to pray, and he said, when they prayed, my crushed foot was healed. This is what he said. And every time over these years, when I think about it, when I put my right foot, I believe it's his right foot, when I put that foot on the ground, and that was crushed up, and there is no pain, it's been healed by the power of God, he said, the thought goes into my mind, God is. God is. God is. Hallelujah. I want you to know tonight, He is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is. He heals A. Ford Williams. He healed in our family. He's healed in your family, and He's still God tonight. He is. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen closely tonight. You can depend on Him. Whatever comes your way, whatever happens around your life. When I was talking to Jay last Friday, Thursday, Friday, when was whenever, in the hospital Thursday evening. And he said, they're taking the x-rays of my lungs, and one lung is filled with cotton, it looks like, cotton balls. And there's no, I can't get my breath. And the other lung, he said, is pretty clear, but the doctor says, I want you to look at this x-ray. This scar right here is the lymphoma. And the scar over here is asbestosis. And the scar over here is COPD. I want you to know, God is benign and he's able to heal. And there'll be no COPD or POCD. There'll be none of that. There'll be no neuropathy. No, not diabetes. God is going to heal. He is God. If he were to come tonight, there would be a mass healing of everyone that loves God, that has a need in their body physically. No one is going out of here with a pain. Amen. Honey, that ought to make you feel good. Thank God. Thank God, thank God. No more sickness, no more sorrow. God is. And then the third thing he said, and God is for you. I love the 12th chapter of Hebrews. I'm going to turn there and read the first two verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I've come to the place God is for you tonight. This great cloud of witnesses, and I've mentioned this before, I've preached it many times, and heard it preached. I really believe it's a part of the 11th chapter, the saints of God that were faithful, that have gone on to be with God, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob, and all the way down the list. I believe now they're on the other side, and I thought about Brother Claude, and so many where they said, I can look around the church and tell you where different ones said, where my father-in-law and mother-in-law said, and when Brother Holloway said, and when different ones said, but listen, tonight they are in this whole world, and somehow I believe that they're looking over the balconies of heaven, and they see us, and they see you and me, and they're saying to us in a sense, keep on running, keep on going, you're almost home, you're almost there, don't give up, keep on going. Like Joseph's favorite course, keep on walking. You've got to keep on walking. I believe this shouting from the balconies of heaven tonight, saying to a brother like Tabernacle, you have run well, but don't slow down there. Keep on going. Keep on serving God. Keep on walking. Keep on running. Hallelujah. God is for you. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Looking unto Jesus. He too is for us. He could be saying, I fought Israel's battles and gave the victory, and I'll fight yours as well. I provided food for Elijah during the time of famine, and I'll provide for you your needs as well. I protected David from the enemy when the enemy was out to kill him. I protected him, and I will protect you as well. I restored Peter when he denied me there by the fire. I restored him, and I can restore anyone else tonight as well. I anointed Paul to preach the good news of the gospel, and I will anoint you as well. Just serve me. God is for us. God is for us. Devil will try to make you believe that God doesn't care. Make you believe that he doesn't hear us when we pray. He doesn't have compassion. But always remember, the devil's a liar. God is for you. God is for me. There have been times in your life, you don't even have to tell me. Every one of us here, there have been some difficult times. And if the Lord tarried us very much longer, there'll be some more. I did not know until the choir was leaving exactly who of Dreamer's family had passed away, and found out that it's a brother-in-law, major or sister, living here in this town. I didn't know that. I thought it was somewhere out in West Virginia. I did not know. I did not know someone that close to the family until Joyce told me just as they were leaving the platform a while ago. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Not a one of us. We cannot predict what's going to take place, what's going to happen in our lives, what's going to happen in our families. I want you to know whatever happens, you can mark it down, God is for you. He loves you more than you can imagine. He'll be there. He'll stand close by. He'll hold your hand. He'll lift you up. You'll find him in either the everlasting arm. When you feel like you're sinking, you'll find him lifting you up. What a good God. Amen, amen, amen. And finally, that is for you, and that is personal. And I hope that we can understand that tonight. I'm glad that God is for America. I mean that. I'm glad for America. I know America's gone a long way from where we were at the beginning, but God's still good. And he's been good to us. And I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to learn some things. I believe God fought some of our battles on the battlefields of life. I'm not talking about individual now. I'm talking about America. I believe God has fought our battles. I believe he's been there. But I'm going to bring it down to your family, and I'm going to bring it down to you individually. God is for you. Individually, you. If God be for us, who can be against us? And I thought of all the peoples in the world. When I first started teaching Revelation, the population of the world was somewhere, if I look at some of my old notes, somewhere around 4 billion. Did you know now it's right at 7 billion people? 7 billion. I remember when I was teaching Revelation the last time, and it was some 6 billion, and it's easy to say that one-third of the population is going to die, and then a fourth of the population is going to die, and how many that leaves and whatever. But now we've come to almost 7 billion people. Stop right there, and I want you to think about it. 7 billion people, and God is for you. That doesn't take away from anybody else, anyone else. He loves them. He's able to meet their needs, but with all of that out there, he's not overwhelmed. Remember that. 7 million people, that's not too much for him to handle. He knows where you live. He knows where you work. He knows what you're going through. He loves you. He's for you. Amen, amen. Thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. 49th chapter of Isaiah. God said, Isaiah, I have written your name on my hand. When you were whoever, whatever age you were, and you fell in love. Some of us thought we were in love in grammar school. Some of you. God said, I have written your name on my hand. Somebody said, if God had an automobile, he'd probably have your name on the license plate. If God had a tree, he would probably carve your name in the bark. But I found something even better than that. I don't know about that person that said that. I don't know about all that, but I'm going to finish. But I'm going to share this with you tonight. I don't know what God would do. He's got a tree. He made them all. About automobiles, he doesn't need one. And Isaiah, God said, I've got your name written in my hand. I've written your name, speaking of Israel. I've written your name in my hand. I want to go one step further. I'm saved tonight. My name is written down in glory. And no one can remove it. No one can pluck me out of my Father's hand. I belong to the Almighty God. No one out there can make me lose out with God. I, as a personal experience with the Lord, God is for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Look, whatever comes our way, let it come. I'm not involved. I don't want trouble to come. I don't want hardship to come. But if it comes, I've got God. He's for me, hallelujah. I'm going over. I cannot go under. I'm going over because God is for me. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. What a thrill tonight to know the Lord, to be a part of the family of God, to be adopted by God, to be a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, be a part of all that God has tonight, and know that he's for me. We're going to close and we're going to come and pray. We're not going to come tonight to just ask God for something. We prayed already, God, to touch that body and that one, and that's all right, but I want us to come tonight at this altar, and I want us to just worship God for who He is. In the Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about sometimes we don't realize who we are in Christ, and Phil spoke up and said, we are royalty, and brother, we are. We are somebody in the Lord. Hallelujah, and God is for us. I want that to ring in your heart and in your mind when you leave here tonight. And if the Lord tells you until tomorrow morning when you wake up, I want that to be in the front of your mind. God is for me today. When I get out of this bed, and when I go in the job, or wherever it is, God is for me. When you come home, God is for me tonight. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, God is for me. That's enough to rejoice. How about will you stand together with me? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who? Name someone. The Lord is saying, Paul is saying. Name anyone. Who can be against us? If God be for us.